of the day, went to Luna Rossa over BMW Oracle Racing by 1:57. Luna Rossa now leads their semi-final match by 4-1. Emirates Team New Zealand over Desafío Español by 1:49. Emirates Team New Zealand also leads their series by 4-1. Well, the trend set up over the previous four races has continued again today. The leaders keep winning and the alarm bells must be ringing in some camps tonight. Luna Rossa and Emirates Team New Zealand need just one more race win to knock out their opponents, bring the Louis Vuitton Cup semi-finals to an end and start considering their matchup for the finals. But wait, it's not over yet. Trends and patterns are established to be broken. We're in the middle of an incredible sporting story here, and there is precedent for remarkable turnarounds in the America's Cup. In 1983, a certain John Bertrand turned a 3-1 deficit around to become the first challenger to win the America's Cup. And in 1992, a certain American sailing an Italian boat, Paul Caird in Il Moro, turned around a 4-1 deficit in the Louis Vuitton Cup finals to win and to be the challenger for the America's Cup. Both of these gentlemen are in Valencia. We're hoping that John Bertrand will join us a little bit later this evening. But in the meantime, back to today's racing. Lighter winds, much further round to the left, and certainly an interesting set of pre-starts. In the big game between Luna Rossa and BMW Oracle, nothing went right for the American team. They came in from the left and always seemed to be on the back foot. The closer the start gun loomed, the more desperate the situation became. And like a wounded animal, the American boat started to commit mistakes, getting caught in the place they call Coffin Corner and picking up two penalties. From here on, it was a case of one boat trying to get a break to pass and grow a lead, sufficient to offload a penalty, and for the other boat to stop this scenario taking place. In the Spain-New Zealand match, Karol Jablanski had a confident grip on the pre-start and led the Kiwis around, forcing him into an uncomfortable, slow and clumsy start at the committee boat, but perhaps they got the side they wanted at whatever cost. The initial advantage was with the Spanish, and it stayed that way for about the first half of the first leg, but then the right came good, and the Kiwis' speed gained the advantage back and sailed ahead. The race stayed close, but as the wind dropped, both races saw the leaders getting richer and never quite feeling really threatened. Peter Eisler, navigator BMW Oracle Racing. Your backs are against the wall tonight. Your team doesn't seem to be functioning 100%, and you're one race from being knocked out. Something's gone badly wrong with the formerly powerful BMW Oracle Racing machine. What has gone wrong?
Well, Marcus, honestly, I don't think anything's gone wrong except for the fact that we're up against a very formidable opponent who's sailing extremely well. And Luna Rossa has earned each one of those four victories that they have on the board so far, and you've got to give them credit. Larry came into the team headquarters today, and we had a team meeting when we hit the dock, and he pointed out to us just what I'll point out to you guys, that, and what the folks at Luna Rossa know, and that is that we are, in order for us to be out, we have to be beaten by Luna Rossa. So our goal is just to take one race at a time and not let them beat us, which means essentially doing the same old boring stuff we've been doing, just a little bit better. We have a lot of confidence all around the team, and Larry emphasized that today, and it made us all feel good because we all feel very proud to be part of a team that's worked so hard together. It's tough to be down 4-1, but we're not out yet, and watch us come back.
Peter, Larry Ellison wasn't on board the boat today. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Larry explained it when he came to the base this evening. He said that he'd been thinking hard about it, and there'd been some suggestions in certain places that possibly the team could use a bit more grinding power, and that so Larry thought, well, he wants to do all he can. He's expecting all of us to do all we can to win the series and win one race at a time, and so he felt like, okay, I'm gonna, even though he loves racing and he's an integral part of the team, he took himself off the boat today in conjunction after talking to Chris, and we put on Tony Cole in the back of the boat for a bit more grinding power and a bit more help up forward during the maneuvers, and that was a decision that was his and Chris's, and it was an effort to try to just give us that little bit of a edge that we need to come around and turn the series around. And we unanimously voted in the auditorium a few minutes ago that Larry should come back on the boat tomorrow. He also used the excuse that since his son David was the 18th man, nobody in their right mind would want to be on a boat with two Ellisons, so he took himself off.
Andy Horton, the traveler on Luna Rossa Challenge. Your team's on the front of a wave right now. Every part of Luna Rossa seems to be functioning better than its opponent. You need one more win to close the deal. How much is this set of circumstances and your surging confidence going to help you tomorrow?
Well, the big thing that you said earlier is that there have been quite a few teams that have come back from big deficits. So really the biggest thing for our team is just to focus on winning one more race. And if that happens tomorrow or in a few days, that's our goal. And of course, these guys are a great team, BMW, and they have a lot of talent, and they just haven't had a few breaks, and a few things have been going our way. So we're going to go out there and, you know, full guns blazing and have a good race. Hopefully we can win one more before they can win a few more, and that's basically the way we look at it.
Can you talk us through the pre-start and the set of penalties that the American boat picked up racing against you?
The first thing that happened was that we were able to finally get BMW in a dial-up when they're coming from the port end, which is pretty hard thing to do. I think everyone's been watching. They've been doing a great job with their timing and their entry. So that was the first thing on our checklist of things to do in the pre-start. And then from there, we had some really good boat control, and Jimmy did a good job with the keeping the right separation in the right position. The trimmers did a good job. And BMW got in a position that was pretty hard to get out of. And at that point, they tried to jibe in front of us, as I'm sure all of you saw, and it was pretty close. And we felt it was too close, so we flagged them. The umpires penalized them. And then there was another one after that for... probably for a windward leeward situation. The whole thing was such a blur and happening so quickly that not sure exactly where it all where all the flags were flown, but that's basically the whole situation.
Do you think that BMW Oracle Racing's attempt to get deep across you in the first place was their first mistake?
That's a hard one. That's been working for them great throughout all the round robins, so that's their style, and I think people are probably starting to catch on to it, but it's a good style. It's worked great in a lot of races.
Peter, would you like to tell us about that, the idea of getting deep across the front in the first coming together?
Well, yeah, there's clearly a reason why you flip a coin at the beginning of the series to see who gets to have the yellow flag, the starboard entry, the first time, and odds on more times during the series, because it is an advantage. And we feel the best way to neutralize the advantage is, if you can, as the blue boat, the port entry boat, is to sail very deep with good VMG, enter as fast as you can, perfectly on time, and try to get across. Once you get across, you've neutralized the advantage, usually, and the game gets much more open. As we saw today, when you don't get across, it's tough on the blue boat, especially sailing against a team who's sailing as well as the guys over next door to us.
John Cutler, tactician on the Desafío Español. Tough one for you, but you kept it close all the way, and a great pre-start. Can you tell us about the first beat, or from the 5 minutes of the first time they tacked away from you?
Sure. In the start, we entered on port, and in our team, we actually have a little joke that Carol generally does a better start when he enters on port. So we're quite happy entering on port, and it's when we come in from the opposite end that we sort of get ourselves into a little bit of strife sometimes. But we wanted the left-hand side of the course, and we managed to get it. We were full speed at the gun, so we're pretty happy. And off we went. We were reasonably happy with our start, where we were going, but after about 5 minutes, we sailed into a bit of a left-hander, so we were like, okay, Team New Zealand are going to come bow down pretty soon. and then we're going to tack and see where we end up. As it was, they just stayed bow up, and you know, 30 seconds later we went bow up as well, and that was our opportunity to cross or at start the game with a maybe 50-50, maybe even, and we weren't, and then we got bounced around pretty good after that. And we keep suggested to Ray that maybe he'd like to change his tactics and just sail a much more loose sort of thing, giving us plenty of space on the race course, and try and keep it a bit more interesting that way.
Ray, why did you tell us how it looked from your boat?
Well, our plan was that we felt the committee boat was going to be favoured by 7 or 8 degrees, and we gave Dean the plan of doing all he can to start at the committee boat, and he did that. Carol certainly did a good job of not giving us much room to play with at the committee boat end, and so we had to do 2 tacks down speed. Once we got going, the initial advantage was well and truly to the Spanish, but with the line bias it sort of negated a bit of that, and the breeze, like John was saying, went to the right, and we continued to make gains all the way out to the left hand side.
John, you're in the same situation as, well, your team's in the same situation as BMW Oracle Racing on the points table, but you're a lot more serene, I think, from looking at the body language on the television screen. Can you give them some advice?
I'm not sure that they need any advice. I mean, we're probably more relaxed. Our team, you know, maybe has different expectations, and, you know, we're battling hard. I know it sounds, you know, the same old thing, oh, we're just trying to win one race at a time, but that's how we approach it, and we're going out tomorrow as best we can to win another race, and you know, we think we can do it, and we're going to give it our best shot.
Okay.